We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
It's time to talk all things Dirty Birds. It's Falcons Flyover with John Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Back with you in the Kia Studios on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is John Chuckery Show live on this Tuesday evening, 404-741-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Odyssey app is how you catch us when you're on the go. Social media is at 929 The Game. I'm at JMCH316. This, of course, your nightly look at all things Atlanta Falcons. It is the Falcons flyover. So Pro Football Focus ranked their NFL rosters. And I saw on ESPN, by the way, they have the Falcons with the second worst roster in the NFL. Pro Football Focus has the Falcons with the second worst roster in the NFL. Here's what they say. Their biggest strengths are the cornerback duo of A.J. Terrell and Casey Hayward. The biggest weakness, the defensive line is in a better spot than it was a season ago. However, it still has the potential to be Grady Jarrett and a bunch of other guys if second-round pick Arnold Ebiketie doesn't hit the ground running. The X factor for 2022, there's a reason the Falcons were repeatedly linked to wide receivers leading up the draft. They're in desperate need of playmakers to complement Kyle Pitts after losing Jones, Ridley, Gage. Drake London was billed as a contested catch receiver, but that's not all he can do. So I don't know. I'll say it like this. The biggest strength, I think is their cornerback duo. I will just running through my head real quick. Yes, I think that is probably their best strength. Their whole secondary could be their best strength overall. If Grant and Hawkins can step up at the safety position, that group could be their strongest unit out there. Biggest weakness, the only thing I disagree is not the defensive line. I think it's the offensive line. And they're going to have to prove to me that they've improved. You're going to have to prove to me that Mayfield's better, Hennessy's better, McGarry's competent, if those guys win the jobs. And I'm not real excited about the idea. I don't care if they do improve. I'm sorry, but I don't think Mayfield and Hennessy can improve enough to play those guys side by side again. And that's my fear. You can live with one of those guys on your offensive line. The Falcons have done that before. Remember the Super Bowl team, Chris Chester. You can live with one of those guys. If you got Jake Matthews on one side, you get Alex Mack on the other. I don't think you can live with two of those guys beside each other. And so Mayfield and Hennessy, if they hold hands again, and that's your left guard center, I don't know that that tells me that this offensive line is going to be better. No matter who, what, where, when, how plays right guard or right tackle, out of all of it. So I think that the offensive line is still their biggest weakness. The X factor is the quarterback position. That's the real X factor for this team. With all due respect to Drake London, if you don't have any good quarterback play, Drake London ain't going to have no factor this year. Kyle Pitts ain't going to have a factor this year. If their quarterbacks bomb out, they got no shot. And they will be a 2 or 3 win team if their quarterbacks are not good. If Ritter's not very good and Mariota is the guy that he's been most of his career and below, they will not be a good football team. They probably won't be a great football team anyway. I mean, I've got them peaked out. I think they win 6 games. So it's not like I exactly have them, you know, being a playoff contender or what have you. But if their quarterback play can't get some things figured out, it's going to be a long season of watching them. Now, maybe not an unexpected season. Maybe it's not unexpected that the Falcons will be bad, right? But it will be a long season to watch them lose every week. Because the other part about the offensive line is, and this will affect the quarterback play, take away Von Miller and take away Micah Parsons. This team's going to see every single solitary top-flight pass rusher that's in the league this year. They ain't missing nobody. Nobody. You want Hendrickson? You want Garrett? You want Clowney. You know, you want Watt. You got them all. You want both Boses? We're going to see him. You want Khalil Mack? Going to see him. You want Art? Going to see them all. Right? All the top flight pass rushers that are available in the league, except for Micah Parsons and Von Miller, we're going to get all of them this year. And so that's why I have concerns about, and look, if the offensive line is relatively similar this year to last year, it's going to be a long season for their quarterbacks too. I don't think they can quarterback their way out of it. I don't think Marcus Mariota and Desmond Ridder can quarterback their way out of dreadful offensive line play. So it all starts and ends with me at the offensive line. I expect their defensive line will be better. They can't be worse, right? I mean, it would be almost impossible to think that they would have less than 18 sacks in a season. I don't know if another team in the league could do that if they tried. Now, it may not be 40 like we hope, but certainly it's going to be, let's say, 25 to 30, right? But it's all going to start with their offensive line. That's why those battles are going to be so important. And I think middle linebacker is going to be interesting too. If they decide to move on from Deion Jones, how does that position look? It'll be a whole new world if they move on from Deion Jones and what this team will look like out of all of it. Marcus Mariota talking about the coaching staff and talking about how there's challenges for the quarterback. He said that Arthur Smith challenges these guys. Quote, I think they challenge us. They want us to understand why we run certain concepts, what coverages we're running against. For us, it's mentally stimulating because it's challenging to look at it from a different perspective. I think what's really cool about Art and his staff is they try to stimulate your mind constantly. There's always brand new ideas. There's always something that we always talk about. So for me, I enjoy that part of it. And look, this could be a point where Marcus Mariota helps out Desmond Ridder as well, because he's played for and understands Arthur Smith. Not necessarily about playing quarterback in general, but helping him understand what Arthur Smith is looking for, right? I mean, I think that's what we're hoping for. When we say mentoring and those kinds of terms, right, I think what we're really hoping for is the idea that Marcus Mariota can make Desmond Ridder's transition not just to the NFL, but to Arthur Smith as well, a lot easier. Right? And I think that's the thing that we're all hoping for, right? Is that transition is a lot simpler and easier. And, you know, you'll have a guy that knows the nuances of Arthur Smith, terminology, what have you. Things he likes, things he doesn't like, whatever. It may sound silly, but that's also part of the adjustment. Arthur Smith talking here saying, quote, our job as a coach, you're really a teacher. Ultimately, they're the ones that are out there on the field, so we're trying to educate them and understand so we're in sync. Well, look, it's a whole new regime and a whole new level for this Atlanta Falcons team, right? And we'll see. I mean, again, I think that's the real X factor when you talk about what this roster is going to look like. Now, Pro Football Focus as well, talking about the Atlanta Falcons and one prospect that they should be watching. So they go through every team. They go through every team and they list a prospect coming up in next year's draft that they should be watching. They do list Bryce Young for the Atlanta Falcons. College fans in Georgia are unfortunately all too familiar with Young's game. The Alabama quarterback put together the single most impressive performance of any passer last season against the most talented college defense in the last decade. Even with the options on the roster, a franchise quarterback is still atop the Falcons' wish list for 2023. Well, again, I could have sworn that Georgia's defense played pretty well in the national title game, or maybe I just missed out on all that interception to seal the national championship or something like that. But look, as we said, and I got to tell you, I had a chance to interview Will Anderson on Friday with Mike Bell. That was terrific. That was a fun interview. He's a terrific young man. I'll be honest. I know we need a franchise quarterback, but if we're third and our consolation prize is Will Anderson, because you can get Will Anderson without being top three, I'd love to have Arnold Ebiketie on one side and Will Anderson on the other side. And let's go get him, boys. And let's go wreak havoc. I think Anderson's a stud, and I got to tell you, he was an extremely impressive young man when he was on with Mike and I. We were very impressed by what he had to say and, you know, the way that interview went and everything like that. So I got nothing but good things to say about Will Anderson, but that's a guy I'd love to see in a Falcons uniform. But certainly if they are a top three pick, they are going to be potentially looking at quarterback, right? They're going to be looking at C.J. Stroud and Bryce Young. And look, both of those guys have to take that next step even this year. I know Young's the Heisman Trophy winner. Stroud's, you know, all world. But you're talking about getting ready to play in the NFL. And both those guys are going to be two-year starters that come into the draft and want to be ready to play in the NFL. Okay? You have to show that you're NFL ready for it. And that's what this season will be about. Yeah, look. If Ohio State's defense can just figure out a couple of things, nobody will beat Ohio State because their offense is going to roll over everybody. And Alabama's going to have an incredible combination of offense and defense with Anderson leading the way and Young leading the way. They're going to be competing both for a Heisman Trophy this year. So there's a lot to like about both of those quarterbacks. It's just a matter of getting themselves prepared to take that next step to head to the NFL. All right, Michael Rothstein, our buddy from ESPN, talks about some of these rookie quarterbacks, and they go around the league is what they're looking at, not just Michael. I should clarify that. But rookie quarterbacks, when will these guys most likely make their first start? Michael Rothstein, the beat writer for the Falcons for ESPN, thinks that it could be week 15 at New Orleans. Now, he also says the chance of sitting all season is about 20%. Chance of winning the starting job in week one is 5%. And I think that's fair and accurate. I think that's fair and accurate. I think the chance of sitting all season, to be honest with you, is lower than 20%. Mostly because Marcus Mariota probably doesn't play the whole season. He's been injury prone. He's been knocked out. I think that's the thing that we look at is that's to me why that percentage would be lower. But I agree completely with the chance of winning the starting job. He says Mariota appears to be far ahead of Ritter right now, and Arthur Smith brought in Mariota for a reason, to be the starter at least in the short term because of his familiarity. Mariota looks sharp through OTAs. There's always a chance of an injury, and it's also possible Ritter takes a big jump once training camp starts. Atlanta likes what it's seen from Ritter so far, but a week one debut seems like a stretch. I agree completely. I think Desmond Ritter is going to have a monster preseason to be able to get this starting job coming out of camp, coming into week one. It's all set up for Marcus Mariota to be able to win this thing early on and be the quarterback. I just think the injury factor for Marcus Mariota is what makes it more likely that Ritter, first off, will probably play before week 15, and the fact that he's gonna get some playing time, and it might be earlier. And if he can play well enough, I wouldn't be surprised at all if he actually won the job. You know what I mean? Like even if Mariota gets hurt and Ritter plays really well, it wouldn't surprise me at all if Mariota didn't come back and be the starting quarterback for it, that Ritter could take that job. I'll also say I'm not excited about the idea of about Desmond Ritter being the starter on day one against, you know, all these top flight defenses until you can tell me that we have our offensive line figured out. Right now, I don't trust our offensive line. We've got skilled position people trying to figure some things out, and we have to figure out what our offensive identity is. I would much rather not just throw Desmond Ritter into a burning oven like a pizza and let him get burnt to a crisp and overcooked. I'd rather work him in because there's no hurry. There's no reason to push a panic button on Ritter. You don't have a lot invested in him, with all due respect, and you don't have to. There's no expectation to be all that good this coming year. So there's no reason to have to force him into getting himself to start, you know, week one for this team. So it'll be interesting to see, but I think we'll see Ritter by the halfway point. I think Ritter will make his first start by about the halfway point because at some point Mariota's get dinged up and banged up and all that that good kind of stuff. So, but again, it's, you know, in looking at this roster, it's a situation where, to me, it all starts and ends with what this offensive line is going to do. And I've said, you know, when we get to camp, that right tackle spot to me is the first thing to watch, because I think that's the first domino that falls. If somebody beats out McGarry, I think McGarry's gone. I think the Falcons are going to try to find themselves a quality offensive lineman via free agency or trade. They have some money. They can do some things, but I think that's going to be the first thing that they're going to look at. If McGarry doesn't win the job, I think he's cut. They have very little invested in McGarry. They didn't draft him. They didn't pick up his fifth-year option. He doesn't have a lot of dead money or anything attached to him, and they could still eat his money and still go out and make themselves another move. Still go out and find themselves a decent player. So let's say somebody else wins the right tackle job. Maybe they go find a quality center or interior offensive lineman just in case a Hennessy or a Mayfield blows up and they need to get somebody else. All right, when we come back, John and Hugh this morning had the guy that runs AMS Motor Speedway as we're getting ready for the race here in Atlanta coming up this weekend. We will hear from him next. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios on Sports Radio, the game, Odyssey.com app.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
So who is this person?
It's John Chuckery.
Are you sure?
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Back with you on the John Chuckery Show, live in the Kia Studios on this Tuesday evening. 404-741-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Odyssey app, so you catch us when you're on the go. Social media at 92.9 The Game. At JMCH316. Braves right now up 5-1. Riley's got a home run in the game. They gave up a run in the first inning, and then the Braves came back with five in the bottom of the first. Riley has homered in this game. Contreras has homered in this game. They've gotten RBIs out of Riley, Olson, Contreras. Right now, Ian Anderson, three innings, five hits, a run. It was a shaky first inning, so he's up to 55 pitches already through three innings. So he should be fine. He should be able to get through five or six innings tonight. Would like to see him get to six. That's what I really need. Can we get to six innings? Because we're still in the stretch of a whole bunch of games in a row for the Braves. So I'd like to see him get to six innings tonight, take a little pressure off that bullpen, because you only got four out of Kyle Wright, and not Kyle Wright's fault. It was the stupid rain delay. So you had all that going on. So you'd like to see your starter get through six innings tonight, not have to pull him out early. So hopefully he stays in here and can get some innings ate up for all of it. So right now, Braves in a good spot, up 5-1 out of all of it. Now, the other thing too, and I was notified about this on Twitter, we've got gimmick infringement. So Blooper, you know, the mascot for the Atlanta Braves, he put out a tweet about an hour ago. I guess he did this little video. He's got a Riley 360. And I understand that. You know, Austin Riley, Riley 360. I got all that. Austin 360. I got all that. Okay. But Blooper put out a little video with the caption on it in all capitals saying, "It's the Georgia Rattlesnake." Let me explain to Blooper. I'm the Georgia Rattlesnake. That's gimmick infringement. I was the Georgia Rattlesnake before there was a Blooper. Listen, I like Blooper. I'd hate to have to give him a stunner. I'd hate to have to give a kick to the stomach
and stunner him. I'll have a beer with him afterward, assuming he can drink beer. I'll have a beer with him afterward, but I'd hate to have to stunner Blooper because that's pure gimmick infringement. And I was the Georgia Rattlesnake long before there was any such thing as a Blooper or anything like that. But anyway, we're having a little bit of fun with all of that. So Braves are up 5-1 right now, taking care of the Cardinals. Excuse me. And we'll keep you up to date all night long about what's going on there. Mets, as we said, they're in Cincinnati, so that game is in the third inning. No score in that game. So I don't want to hear any crying and moaning about the Mets because they got Scherzer on the mound tonight, and they're playing the god-awful Cincinnati Reds. So miss me with schedules and all that kind of stuff because that's all the Mets have done is beat up on a bunch of bad teams too. Most teams just don't clean up against, you know, all the good teams. Dodgers were 4-2 against the Braves this year. But, you know, normally those games are closer than all of that. But anyway, we'll keep you up to date about what the Braves do and all that. And we talked about the idea of, you know, some of these guys, you know, were in the first game of the second half of the season. You know, Contreras is a guy we talked about. Hey, you got him for the whole second half. He's already homer tonight. Hey, it looks like Olsen's getting some of his power and run producing back. He's got another RBI tonight. After a couple of RBI last night, he's got another RBI tonight. And I'm not so much worried about the batting average on some of these guys. It's the run production. I can live with Austin Riley being a 260 hitter. I can live with Olsen being a 255, 260 hitter. But I can't have those guys be, you know, 80, 90 RBI. Those are my main run producers, and especially with Ozuna, who's hitting 220, and Duvall, who's hitting 205, and those guys combined don't look like they're going to drive in 100 runs. After Duvall led the league last year. Remember that? He led the league in RBI last year. So good to see the Braves offense getting it cranked up and going. Let's hope Ian Anderson can get to six innings in this thing tonight. All right, earlier this morning, we've got Racing coming back to Atlanta Motor Speedway. Brandon Hutchinson, he's the general manager of AMS. He was on with Freaky and Hugh earlier this morning. And the guy started off by asking him how excited he is for the race coming up this weekend.
Brandon Hutchinson is the general manager of Atlanta Motor Speedway, and he joins us this morning on the WadeFord.com hotline, talk a little bit about what the Fords might do at Atlanta Motor Speedway. Hey, Brandon.
Brandon.
John, Hugh, thank you so much for having me this morning. I appreciate it.
Not a problem. So how excited are you to have NASCAR back in Georgia on Saturday?
Beyond excited, Hugh. I tell you what, to have two races back at Atlanta Motor Speedway in the state of Georgia, we're a sports town anyway, so only fitting that Atlanta Motor Speedway has two races a year.
No kidding. And when we lost the second race, and I understand, look, there's a lot of competition, but boy, and we ended up with just the one that was right after Daytona. It was like, that's kind of anticlimactic. Now we get one right back in the middle of summer here, and kind of in a way, a little bit, you know, not taking away anything, it falls to honor, and then this one. But, you know, you build up now because the race is on. I mean, this is sort of the beginning of the playoff chase, and now, you know, drivers are locked in, teams are kind of locked in. We know who's chasing who. So now this becomes even more important given where it falls on the schedule, Brandon.
Yeah, John, you're exactly right. I tell you, there's 13 drivers locked in and only 16 playoff spots. So they'll be vying real hard for a win at Atlanta Motor Speedway. As you know, we increased the banking from 24 to 28 degrees. We had 46 lead changes amongst 20 different drivers. So we truly are a hybrid super speedway. If you're looking for exciting racing, we're the place to be this weekend. And hey, what's better in the middle of summer than NASCAR racing and music? We're combining a music festival with our race this weekend. So Flo Rida, Candlebox, Blackberry Smoke, many, many, many more are going to be there this weekend. So hopefully fans will come out and join us.
Yeah, no, that sounds like I want to hear more about that in just a moment. But I do, Brandon, want to ask, how has the changes to the track, you talk about the banking and the resurfacing, how's that been met with by the teams that are driving? How are the drivers liking the changes you made?
You know, anytime you make big changes to anything, there's speculation on what it's going to be, what it might not be. There's trepidation over the big change. You know, drivers loved the Atlanta Motor Speedway. It was one of the fastest, provided some of the most exciting racing in NASCAR. So they didn't want us to change it, right? To change it. But the asphalt was 24 years old. We decided that when we were going to pave, we were going to swing for the fences and make a big change. And a big change. Boy, did it pay off. Like I said, 46 lead changes, 6 leads. races amongst 20 different drivers. The feedback post-race, has been overwhelmingly positive from both the competitors and the fans. We expect a huge crowd there this weekend, and it just is a testament to, you know, we took a big risk, and it seems like it's worked out. Now we just got to duplicate it, right?
You know, Brandon, you don't have to say any names, but it sounds like you got before, you know, when you did all these radical changes, that there were some drivers that really had something to say to you personally about how the track was changed. Was that the case?
Yeah, it was. You know, like I said, they loved the old track, and Super Speedway racing is unpredictable. It's exciting for the fans. It's edge of your seat, white knuckle racing. And while these are the best drivers in the world, they didn't know what to expect, especially on a mile, especially on a half. You know, we're an intermediate track. So talk about Super Speedway racing in Daytona or Talladega, you're talking about tracks that are over 2 miles. So as crazy as it sounds, in over 2 miles, you get a minute or two on those straightaways to take a breath. Atlanta Motor Speedway, over half of the track is in the turns. So not a lot of time to rest and relax. And these drivers were questioning whether it was the right thing to do. But, you know, hey, I take it with a grain of salt. My job is to provide entertainment for the fans, and that's exactly what we did.
Yeah, we're talking to Brandon Hutchison. He's the GM of Atlanta Motor Speedway. Quaker State 400 presented by Walmart this weekend down south at the track. How much does it help you, too, that Chase from same place there is having the season that he's having?
You know, I hung out with Chase a little bit at the College Football Hall of Fame last week, and it's awesome. You know, he is the most popular driver in our sport. He's a champion. He's pretty darn good at what he does. If you watch the race at Road America last weekend, he led most of the dang thing, got clipped there at the end by Tyler Reddick, who was a well-deserved first-time winner in our sport. But, you know, Chase is a good dude. He's a hometown guy, and he grew up racing at Atlanta Motor Speedway. Hadn't found his way to Victory Lane in the Cup car. So hopefully this weekend he can rewrite that story, and we'll sound the siren up in Dawsonville, Georgia.
Is it too late for me to be a NASCAR driver?
Yeah.
Is it too late?
Maybe.
Insert joke about car being stolen from pits here.
Yeah, there's that too. Yeah,
I'm a sports guy, and Hugh, you've been at the top of the level in your sport, and I always wanted to play professional sports. And you know, you get to a certain point where you just have to write that off. And
just stay in my lane, basically, huh?
I don't know, Hugh. But anytime you want to come down to Atlanta Motor Speedway and test your skills, you just give me a call. We'll put you out there.
All right, hey, I'm going to take you up on that, man, because I always felt like I could have been a NASCAR driver.
Yeah, I'm glad Dodge is not in NASCAR right now. That's all I can tell you, okay?
Really?
Though I would love to see Dodge back. I'd love to see Oldsmobile back, but we'll see how that all works, because, you know, there's just the three makes now. We have Brandon Hutchison. So you mentioned Flo Rida. I guess that's a big concert right before the race on Sunday. But walk us through, give all the fans a little taste of, you know, what it's going to be like, you know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, kind of the lay of the land of the events that are going to take place, the concerts and the races and the qualifying and whatnot.
You know, like I said, the most important thing to me is that we create entertainment for our fans, and they take away memories from being at Atlanta Motor Speedway. So it all gets kicked off on Thursday. We open the campgrounds. People will be with us all weekend. Friday night, we're having a campers appreciation party. Going to kick off the Revs and Riffs Music Festival Friday night. Fans will also have a chance to drive their car on Atlanta Motor Speedway Friday night before the NASCAR drivers get out there on Saturday, and it just carries through the whole weekend. Prior to the Alsco Uniforms 250 on Saturday, we've got Candlebox playing. Right after that race, we've got Blackberry Smoke playing in the Peach Pit in the infield. If you've got a race ticket or if you're camping with us, Peach Pit Party on Saturday night is free. We've got Dueling Mechanical Bulls, massive fireworks show, cornhole, and then it just carries right through to Sunday. Sunday, Flo Rida is the pre-race concert on the pre-race stage, just before driver introductions for the race. We've got a massive kids zone. We've got a massive fan interactive zone out front. Kids are free on Saturday. Kids are only $10 on Sunday. You can go to Atlanta Motor Speedway, John and Hugh, cheaper than you can go to a matinee movie. And listen, you can bring your cooler. So you don't even have to go into the closet and get out that movie purse. We all know the one. pack up your favorite drinks and food and come out to Atlanta Motor Speedway this weekend.
Wait a second. I go back to Friday here because you perked ears up over
man,
here.
Listen.
Taking your own,
your own car.
How fast you got to go to
listen,
hold that?
I don't have a car to take now, John. You just
no. You're missing the point here. Follow me here. You're missing the point here.
I'll take the truck. I don't think the truck will make it around the track in a nice lap time.
There are two things about this.
Hugh, bring your truck. If you don't want to drive your truck, I'll put you in the pace car, Hugh. It's from 8 to 11 Friday night, right after we've got some legends in Bandolero racing, actually where Chase grew up racing on our Thunder Ring quarter mile track.
Uh-huh.
And it all benefits Speedway Children's Charities on Friday night. So you're supporting a great cause, and you get to drive your car or truck or motorcycle or side by side at Atlanta Motor Speedway on the high banks.
Again, how fast do you have to go to hold the bank?
You know, when we went from 24 to 28, it increased a little bit. It isn't as fast as you think, but I can tell you, if you're not going 80, 85 miles an hour, your traction control starts kicking in, and it just wants to fight you. So you probably need to go about 80, 90 miles an hour.
All right, if you see any Hellcats out on the track,
really
I need
not.
You to do me.
If it's a blue one,
we'll take a picture and send
it to you. If you see a blue one with a black hood, take a picture of it because it might be mine.
Well, Brandon, we
Listen, if you don't want to drive your car on track, don't feel real comfortable doing that, on Sunday morning at 8 o'clock, you can walk around the track. It's a lot of fun, a little bit of exercise. We got all kinds of stuff going on, guys. Again, to me, it's about the entertainment. It's about making it affordable. If you're not going to camp with us all weekend, and I hope you do, what kind of sports weekend do we have in Atlanta this weekend? You go see the Braves on Friday night,
mm-hmm.
United on Saturday night if you're not going to Atlanta Motor Speedway, and then come to Atlanta Motor Speedway on Sunday. So I said earlier, we're a sports town. We're certainly showing it this weekend.
And where can fans get tickets?
AtlantaMotorSpeedway.com. You can go online. Kind of browse around, see what price point works best for you and your family. I hope your listeners will come out and join us. It's going to be a big time.
It sounds great, Brandon.
Sounds
thanks
like
much for
awesome
the
time.
For the time. Appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, Brandon.
John Hughes, thank you so much for the opportunity. Have a great day.
Back to more John Chuckery.
This party's going to rock.
Make some noise!
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Back with you on the John Chuckery Show. Hanging out at Kia Studios on a Tuesday night with you. 404-741-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Odyssey app site, catch us on the go. Social media at 929 The Game at JMCH316. We got Josh Hartnett back there producing the show. At least he's not a dopey millennial, so we got that going for us. We will do a rank'em coming up at 10:40. So here's what we asked, because I didn't want to overwhelm Josh. He's trying to learn everything on the show. So Josh is new. So, of course, we always ask you at 404-741-0929 or on my Twitter page at JMCH316. Make sure you hit us up with some rank'em lists so we can kind of give Josh an idea about how this thing works. Now, Dylan will be back on Friday when we do, another round of rank'em, but for tonight, we're going to need your help. So hit me up with your lists on the text line. Hit me up with your lists, excuse me, if you will, on my Twitter page as well. Hey, dive into the history and culture of baseball's unofficial rule book with Unwritten, a new podcast hosted by Ron Darling and Jimmy Rollins. Ron and Jimmy give you the player's perspective. This week, they're talking about how to talk to an umpire. Download Unwritten on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. As we said, Braves are up 5-1. Right now, got a man on first base, so all good news there. You know, Ian Anderson has settled down a good bit. He's at 4 innings, 6 hits, just the 1 run. Hasn't walked anybody, which has also been an issue for Anderson. So that's a good thing. That's some good news there because, that's also gotten him in trouble this year. And again, when you've given up the 6 hits, you don't want to try to add in guys and walking them because now you start to get lots of base runners out of all of it. So he hasn't walked anybody, just got the 1 strikeout. That's been sort of interesting that the strikeouts have not been this year. And he's back at 71 pitches. So, he only had 16 pitches in the last inning when he was through 3 innings. So he should be able, I would hope, to try to get through 5 for sure Would love to see six. You're starting to work that bullpen pretty good, right? Kyle Wright only got four innings last night because of the rain delay and all that screw-up, so you had to start burning up some arms, and it was a close game, so you had to close that thing out, right? So, you know, you'd like to have an easy one tonight, right? You'd like to have this one be an easy one if it could stay 5-1, 6-1, something like that, right? And make this pretty easy, and Anderson get you through six innings. Because if he's not in any danger, with all due respect, you need to let him pitch and get him right a little bit. I'm not saying you got to pitch him in the seventh, eighth inning and he's, you know, at 120 pitches. I'm talking about just he needs to be around that 100-pitch mark. He needs to start figuring some things out. He needs to get some things together. And it didn't look like it was going to be the best of starts coming the first inning, but he's really settled down since then. And, you know, he looks like he's got everything kind of together. So I'd ride him out for a little bit. I'd let him stay in a little bit longer and try to avoid hammering on your bullpen too hard. That's just me, though. I don't manage the team, and, you know, Snit's going to do whatever he wants to do well with all of it. I just think that sometimes you got to let these starters go a little bit and see what you got out of all of them. So, but anyway, we'll keep you up to date all night long about what goes on with Braves baseball. First, though, let's keep you up to date with What's Bugging Chuckery.
Don't look now, but somebody out there just got Chuckery ticked off. Like, that's hard.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
It's time for What's Bugging Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You know, I mentioned this the other day with Mike Bell on Dukes and Bell when I was filling in. This is such a sad, sad story about Baltimore Ravens outside linebacker Jalen Ferguson. Now, remember, back on June 21st, he was found dead, 26 years old. He has three children, all of them under the age of five. Just awful. Just an awful situation. It's even more awful because of the circumstances of his death. He died from a combined effect, and it's an accidental death, but a combined effect of fentanyl and cocaine. Quote, our priorities focus on the man Jalen, on who he was, a positive impact he made. Be inappropriate for us to comment further while continuing to support his family and teammates who are mourning the tragic loss of a loved one, will celebrate his life. Okay, here's my thing, though. We've seen multiples of pro athletes now die from fentanyl overdoses. And look, I understand, and I've learned a little bit about fentanyl just because it just so happens that, you know, the people I go to for some physical therapy and stuff like that, you know, she's a pharmacist by trade, and we're just kind of talking about it. Fentanyl is incredibly dangerous. Cocaine speaks for itself, but fentanyl is a whole nother level. And it's an opioid. And I completely understand. We're going to talk about Bebe coming up in the NFL Squib Kick because it turns out that he had like stage 2 CTE. And at this point, I don't think there's anybody in the NFL playing that doesn't have some kind of CTE. It's just you play 10 years in the league, you're going to have CTE. And I understand the pain factor. And I understand the idea of these guys have to cope with all of this. But the NFL is going to have to get itself involved in fentanyl use. In fact, to be honest with you, all major league sports are going to have to get themselves involved in fentanyl use. Coaching, teaching, training, medical staff training. I'm sure that they do a lot of this now. But we've had a major league baseball player and an NFL player die from fentanyl. That's two guys too many in my book. And I'm not blaming the league or anything like that. I understand. These are adults. Ferguson's a 26-year-old. He's an adult with three kids. I don't think, though, that these guys completely grasp the idea of how incredibly dangerous fentanyl is. And I get it. You're looking for a substitute, right? That's why marijuana legalization and things like that are big keys for some of these guys. They have to find a way to cope with the pain. And if you're in a situation where marijuana is not legal, by the way, look at Michael Harris stealing two bases in the same inning. Stole second and now just stole third. And now here he's, again, I talk about the Braves speed and using that speed, man. Now he's got Dansby up with you know, two outs, but now he's on third base. So pass ball scores him now. But anyway, sorry, just watching all that and makes me think about how often I talk about the Braves' speed and using that aspect of their game. But I'm sure the league has all these protocols and things, but there has to be a strong message. And again, for a lot of these guys, if they're not going to have marijuana, THC, things like that available to them, I understand that some of the choices are limited. I get it, and I understand it. But fentanyl is like Russian roulette, man. You ever see the Deer Hunter? You ever see those guys play Russian roulette? You know what I'm talking about? That's what this fentanyl stuff is. And it's incredibly just destructive. I understand, like everything else in life, if you use it in moderation, this, that, and the other. I've talked about this with steroids. I know that there are Lal Zado and people like that, that, you know, and Ken Caminiti, that had incredible issues with steroids, and it basically led to, you know, organ shutting down and things like that. But steroids, if used properly, are very effective. And that's the key, is using it properly. So I understand that probably using fentanyl in a lot of ways, I'm sure that there are benefits to doing it. But it is an opioid. And I'm sure it's fairly easy to get. And I'm sure that they can get a prescription for it. And I'm sure that, gee, an NFL player wouldn't abuse it. I joke about how I abuse ibuprofen. That's why I'm doing cryotherapy and stuff like that. It's because I was popping, honestly, in a day, I was popping between 8 and 20 ibuprofen a day. Just to get rid of inflammation and pain and different things like that. So I understand. It's easy, and I'm a big guy. I'm a big guy, and I, you know, I don't do anything light. So I understand. You know, these guys are professional athletes. They're in peak physical condition, thick, strong, muscular. I get all of it. You know, taking a little dose of something probably doesn't have the same effect as, you know, Betty Rubble Housewife. I get that. But this fentanyl stuff, when you read about it and this, that, and the other, and people that are abusing it, it's dangerous, man. It's frightening. It's frightening out there. And like I said, I'm sure that there are things already in place for the NFL. But we've lost a Major League Baseball player. Remember that guy that we lost, the guy from the Angels? We've lost a baseball player. We've lost a football player. It's just too much. Too much. And then you mix it with cocaine? That's a Molotov cocktail. And I understand, again, I understand 100% of the reasons why he probably did it. He probably wasn't just trying to get high. He probably wasn't just trying to look for his kicks. This guy's got 3 kids under the age of 5 years old, okay? I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt that he is a responsible adult. Maybe I'm wrong. You know, maybe that's bad on my part, but I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt. By the way, 6-1 now. Olsen doubles down the line to knock in Harris. So Olsen doubles to bring in another run. So blowout city happening now. But I don't think he was just doing it for kicks. I think it's a pain threshold thing. I think it's a matter of trying to ease the pain. And they're going to have to come up with something better. And they're going to have to, you know, obviously we're going to have to get to a point where you allow for marijuana use or THC or whatever like that. But these guys can't keep doing this fentanyl. And I promise you, you know, this won't be the last guy that dies from all of that. He's not going to be the last professional athlete that dies from fentanyl overdose. Because this stuff is just, it's beyond dangerous. And like I said, I've learned a little bit more about it here of late. I don't know. I'd have to probably find something else. I'd be too scared to probably get into something like that. So hopefully the NFL steps in. All major league sports, for that matter, step in and really make sure that they have a hard look at educating and what needs to be done. And remember, that guy in the Angels clubhouse was one of the guys who was distributing fentanyl to that pitcher or whatever it was, right? Those guys have to go to jail. If you're illegally distributing things like fentanyl and they can kill people, guys have to get locked up in big boy prison. Not county lockup. Not some county lockup. I'm talking about with some guy named Bubba, who becomes your new roommate and your boyfriend and your girlfriend, and locked up for a while for all of it. Because this stuff is way too dangerous, and it just seems like guys are getting their hands on it and bad things are happening. And that's what's bugging Chuck Reed. 404-741-0929 is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Braves up blowing this one open. So Really need Ian Anderson to eat up a couple of more innings. Braves aren't done, by the way. There's a couple of outs, and Olsen's standing at second base. So we'll see if Riley can bring him in. By the way, Riley and Olsen tonight, 4 for 5, 2 runs scored, and 4 RBI. That's what you need out of Riley and Olsen, right? That's what you need production-wise out of the middle of your order. So all good stuff for the Braves. All right, when we get back, what's left for the Atlanta Hawks? Let's talk about what they've done, how it's been, what's left. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios, Sports Right Now to the Game, Odyssey.com app.
Accounts, homes, and businesses by putting their tax problems to rest. Resolving over $1 billion in tax debts for their clients. Call Optima now for a free consultation.
Call 800-354.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.